not always a title guy, give you my title, but I want to do so tonight by way of explanation, but I want to warn you, the title is a bit misleading. So my sermon tonight, I've chosen to call Before Abraham Was. And I know that you're automatically going to John chapter 8 and verse 58. That was the argument Jesus made to show his eternal existence, to show that he was God in the flesh. Before Abraham was, Jesus said, I am. But I want to use that same phrase as a summary of the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis. Because chapter 12 is the watershed moment of Scripture where Abraham appears on the scene and God zooms in to this one individual and his family, and that becomes the scope of the rest of the Old Testament and into the New Testament with Jesus, the son of Abraham. But the reason I've chosen this topic for tonight is because I want to encourage those who are using the five-day Bible reading program for 2023. Now, the reason I know there are several who are doing that is because, number one, people were asking for it in mid-December for the new year. And two, we have printed additional copies every week, and they keep disappearing. So either somebody's selling these on the side on eBay, or it's being used. And so I want you to know I'm going to commit publicly to preaching at least once a month this year on the things we've read in the five-day reading program. And maybe that will encourage some to join in. Even if you haven't started yet, you can jump in and join as we think about the importance of Bible reading. And so this past week, the first week of the year, part of the reading in the Old Testament included Genesis 1 through 11. Now, in our fellowship, when I say I'm going to preach on 11 chapters, you have a heart attack. Because we're used to verse-by-verse study. And sometimes when we do only that, we miss the big picture. We miss the bird's eye view of how those verse by verse fit into the overall story of the Bible. And that's what I hope to do with these first 11 chapters before Abraham was. And I want you to remember who was receiving this information for the first time. First words that were written down in the law, in the book of Moses. It was the Israelites. They have already been delivered from Egyptian captivity. They're in the wilderness, wandering to enter their promised land of Canaan. And so what do they need to know about what happened in the world before their family came into existence? Remember, they've lived in a pagan culture in Egypt that served many gods. The Egyptians had Osiris and Ra and Isis and other gods. And all of a sudden, the spokesman for Jehovah God comes in and says, "Let my people go." Even Pharaoh asked, "Who's the Lord that I should obey his voice?" And a people who'd been in that culture for hundreds of years might be tempted to think that this Jehovah God, well, he's the newcomer on the scene. Where's he been? And maybe he's leading us to his territory where he is God, and we'll follow him there. And so the first thing God teaches them before Abraham was is that he was in the beginning. He is God above all gods. And they should listen to his voice and his voice alone. Before Abraham was, number one, the world was good. Can you imagine that? When you think about the world we live in today, can you imagine a time when the world itself was good? That's what we see in the account of creation in Genesis 1. There are two phrases that are repeated. The first one is said 10 times when God created the heavens and the earth. 10 times we read in Genesis 1, "Then God said, let there be light," verse 3. "Let there be an expanse," verse 6. "Let the dry land appear," verse 9. "Let the earth sprout vegetation," verse 11. "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens," verse 14. "Let the waters teem with living creatures, and let the birds fly above," verse 20. "Let the earth bring forth living creatures, cattle and creeping things," verse 24. "Let us make man in our image," verse 26. Every time, "Then God said." You think that would emphasize that they should listen to the words God spoke at Sinai, to the words of the law, to the words of the covenant, when nature itself obeyed every word he spoke in creation? God said. But the second phrase that is repeated, this one 7 times, is "it was good." God created, and it was good. Verse 4, 10, 12, 18, 21, and 24. But look at Genesis 1, verse 31, where the account of creation is summarized this way. "And God saw," Genesis 1, 31, "all that he had made, and behold, it was very good." The song says, "He formed the creatures with his word, and then pronounced them good." And all of creation was good. Even man himself was good. And that's hard for us to picture, because we don't know any different, and neither did the Israelites. Only two people who ever experienced the world in its perfection was Adam and Eve. The rest of every generation saw the evil. I remember talking to a friend of mine in college, and you know how when you're little, you don't know how to read, but you can hear songs that we sing in the worship service. And sometimes what we hear and what we think a song says is not what it says at all. Well, she told me about the old hymn, "What Shall It Profit a Man?" You remember that one? Well, she thought it said, "Watch out, it's probably a man." And that's because that's the world we live in. We think about things like that. We don't just let our children roam free and go anywhere they want because there's evil out there. Well, before Abraham was, it was good. Even Adam and Eve are described this way. Look in chapter 2 and verse 25. "And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." And we can't imagine that. The only beings that we think about as being naked and there not being any shame about that are little children. And so Adam and Eve are being pictured for us as innocent and pure as little children, because there was no sin. This helps answer what is sometimes called the problem of evil. Have you heard it said that way? The problem of evil is, why would God allow this to happen? Why do bad things happen in this world? He must either not care, or he's not strong enough to do anything about it. Well, before Abraham was, when God created the heavens and the earth and gave dominion to man, it was good. And he made sure to say it 7 times so that we would know when he handed over the keys, the earth was good. So where does that imply the problem of evil has come from? And why do bad things happen? Because of sinful men. Because before Abraham was, the earth was good. I don't know about you, but that motivates me to want to go to that new heavens and new earth prepared for God's children, where he will finally have what he wanted in the beginning, a perfect fellowship with his people. That leads to the second thing that we learn before Abraham was, as we survey Genesis 1 through 11. Before Abraham was, God wanted a people. He wanted a people for his own, who would be his, and he would be their God, and that would be enough for them. And they wouldn't have to go after other things or seek contentment elsewhere. Just the pure knowledge that I'm with God and he's with me and we walk together. Before Abraham was, God wanted a people. And he offered this first to Adam and Eve. And what we see in these chapters is a repeated pattern of a world that started in order and now spiraling into chaos because of sin. We have the first sin in Genesis 3, Adam and Eve. And did you notice in chapter 3 and verse 7 that the first response of sinful men is to cover nakedness? Now there's awareness of good and evil. Now there's shame attached because of sin, and they want to cover themselves. That's what sin does. But through Adam and Eve, every generation made their sinful choice. In chapter 4 and verse 8, you have the sons of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, and you have the very first murder when Cain was angry and killed his brother Abel. But it didn't stop there. In chapter 4, verse 23, we're introduced to a man named Lamech. And here's what the scripture says in Genesis 4 and verse 23. And Lamech said to his wives, Adah and Zilhah, listen to my voice, you wives of Lamech. Give heed to my speech, for I have killed a man for wounding me, and a boy for striking me. If Cain is avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. Now I decided to read those two verses Because every time I rehearsed this part, I said, and Lamech was the first one to have two wives and the first one to commit double homicide. And it made it sound like he killed his wives. But you see, if Cain can kill one, Lamech said, I'll kill two. But it didn't stop there. In chapter 6, verse 5, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only on evil continually. Look at those words. Every, only evil. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man, and he was grieved in his heart. Verse 11, now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. Think of that. God created everything good. And now every thought is only on evil continually, spiraling into chaos because Adam and Eve rejected God's purpose for them. Well, God said, I'll start over then. I'll send a flood to wash away and cleanse the earth. And I've got a man, Noah, who found favor, and his wife and three sons and daughters-in-law, and with these eight, we'll do it again. And so now after the flood, Noah becomes the new Adam. And he says to Adam and his family the same thing to Noah and his family, the same thing he said to Adam and his family. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And then he said to the young couples at Southside, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. God wanted a people. But after the flood, Noah planted a vineyard and got drunk. And the man was naked and ashamed, just like Adam. But it didn't stop there. His descendants in chapter 11 spurned God's command to fill the earth, multiply and fill the earth. Rather, they settled in verse 2 in the land of Shinar. In verse 3, they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they used brick for stone, and they used tar for mortar. And they said, come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the earth. We want to be like God. We want a tower reaching into the heavens. Why scatter and fill the earth? We'll settle here. In a world created in order, now because of sin is confusion. They can't understand one another. Their languages are confused. And they do scatter. And so Israel is learning this. And you think they wondered, God's starting over with us. Now we've been cleansed by crossing the Red Sea. We're his people. What will Israel do to be satisfied as the people of God? Will that be enough for them? Before Abraham was, God wanted a people. Do you see then why we, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, are described the way we are? But you are a holy nation. He's talking about the church, a royal priesthood, a people for God's own possession. Question, is that enough for you? Or you need more than that? Are you content with God being your God and we being his people? Or are we going to continue the spiral into chaos? Before Abraham was, God made known his intention. He wants a people. Even Abraham's family spurned his invitation. Let's be the people of God. It's what he always wanted. Before Abraham was, God had a plan for all the nations. You see, Israel, the family of Abraham, were just for a purpose. God chose Abraham. He didn't choose a nation that had already been made. He said, I will make you a great nation. I will make your name great. See, that's what they wanted to do in the Tower of Babel. Let's make a name for ourselves. God said, I'll make you a great nation. But his plan was to bless all the nations of the earth. The reason he told first Adam and Eve and then Noah and his family to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth was because they were made in his image. And he wanted his image to be all over the face of the earth for his glory. But because of sin, in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, God makes this first promise of redemption in the scriptures, pronouncing this curse on the serpent who tempted Eve and Adam in the Garden of Eden. Verse 15 of Genesis 3, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. When Israel read those words, they were not privileged to have the information that we have, that this was in God's mind before he created the heavens and the earth. Ephesians 1 and verse 4. Before the foundation of the world, God had a plan of redemption. And notice the seed of woman would be the means through which that plan would come on the earth. Eve was the mother of all living. It would not just be for the salvation of one family or one race of people. Of all mankind, all humanity. Because God had a plan even before Abraham was. His plan to be the God of all nations is further seen in Genesis chapter 9 and the covenant after the flood of the rainbow. Who is this covenant address to. That whenever you look into the sky and see the rainbow, that's a sign of God's promise to never flood the earth with water again. Look at Genesis 9 and verse 17. And God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." That's everybody. Because God's plan was to ultimately be the God of all peoples and all nations. Before Abraham was, he had this plan. In Genesis chapter 10, you have what is sometimes called the Table of Nations, which in a daily Bible reading program is code for skip. But don't do that. Don't do that. These are important. It's showing God knew all these peoples. There's 70 nations here. And some have made the connection in Luke chapter 10 when Jesus sent the 70 out. That was to be in connection with these nations, to show God's plan to save all nations of the world, to which he would later send out the apostles to go preach the gospel to all creation. And then Genesis 12 in verse 3, he said to Abram, "I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." God had a plan. Before Abraham was, God had a plan for all the nations. Aren't you thankful that we get to be witnesses of God reversing what happened before Abraham was? On the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, when Jews were there from every nation under heaven, instead of confusion at the Tower of Babel, now you had every man hearing the gospel in his native tongue. And he came to believe in Jesus as the Christ. In the preaching of the gospel, they were to make disciples of all nations, to go into all the world and preach Jesus as Lord. In keeping his covenant, the present earth will not be flooded again, but it is reserved by his word for fire on the day of judgment that will purge the earth of its wickedness, and all its works will be burned up. And then he will create a new heavens and a new earth. Only this time there'll be no need for God to create the sun, moon, and stars, because there'll be neither day nor night. And the glory of the Lord will provide the light. This time there'll be no need for cities to be built or gates to close at night, because God will protect his people and there will be no sin. This time there'll be no need to hide in shame from the face of God, nor him to turn his face because of our sinfulness, because we will be redeemed eternally. And we will dwell with him in a garden of paradise beside the tree of life. Before Abraham was, God had a plan. Praise God, we can be part of his plan for us. And to give God what he's always wanted. A people who love him and who are content. He is my God. Tonight, you can be recreated in the image of Jesus Christ. You've already been created in God's image. But through the gospel, we can be recreated. We can conform to Jesus Christ and be like him. We can believe the word that God said, knowing that every word that proceeds from the mouth of God leads to salvation. And just like the earth was washed with water in the days of Noah, so baptism now saves you through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If we can assist you as we did with our sister this morning in any need in the gospel, you can make that known right now while we stand up and while we sing.